I'm Stacey Grinsfelder from Blake Hill House.
And I'm Devin Caldwell from Our Philly Row. We're the hosts of True Tales from Old Houses.
And this is season 4.
Woohoo! Welcome to season 4.
Yeah, welcome back. I suppose if you spent our time off binge listening to seasons 1 through 3, it may feel as if we haven't been gone at all.
I know, it's been over a month.
So what did you do during your time away from True Tales from Old Houses?
Well, I'd like to say that I was very productive and got a million things done in the house, but honestly, not that much. Just kind of in preparation for summer, I did some stuff around the house, but I have one really big thing that got done. There has not been water in the backyard for the entire time that our house has existed, which is 167 years. So I have put a spigot into the backyard so that we can now water things, water the plants, which we have yet to get, hose things down. We got a power washer and I washed piles of dirt off of the concrete and it's glorious.
Yeah, I think you mentioned that project before we wrapped season 3. So look at you getting things done. That's nothing to sneeze at. You did something.
That's true. That's true. It's my first time doing that much plumbing by myself, and I'm very pleased with myself for it.
Good. No leaks, I guess?
No.
Well, no.
It's great.
How many leaks did you have in getting to the point where there were no leaks? I'm a terrible plumber. That's why I ask.
I had none. I bought the right tools, and I used PEX and copper crimper. I don't know what they're called. I tapped into a PEX line that we already had going to the back of the house in the basement, and nothing. It's great.
Good for you. Oh my gosh. I feel like we always have 2 to 3 little small leaks before we get to the point where there's no leaks. Well, it must feel good to get that project behind you, and now you can spend a nice summer outdoors with all those flowers you've yet to buy. Maybe a cocktail or two and some nice lights and
cocktails, cool nice lights, planter boxes, which I just got this last week. Now I need to go and buy several cubic feet of dirt for, but it's going to be awesome.
Good. Exciting. So do you want to ask me what I did?
Yes. <I'm sorry. laughs> So what have you been doing this time away?
I don't know. Messing things up, breaking things. I don't know. I thought, oh gosh, this huge amount of time stretched out before me. And I can honestly say I completed nothing, but it does feel like I started several things. We'll talk about that in the future, but mainly just things like painting and trying to get my container garden going. I don't know. Really, I wish I had more to show for it, but I mostly worked, I think, on sort of behind the scenes stuff here with the podcast. So I guess maybe we should talk about some of those behind the scenes things that we have going on for season 4.
That's right.
Devin, you are working on something, and then I've been working on some things. So let's talk about, I guess, what we're doing for this new season of True Tales from Old Houses.
Sure. We've added a new resources page, which we talked about at the end of season 3. It's still new, and we don't have a lot on there yet, but we're going to add to it. If I remember right, we asked for people to send us things or suggest things that we could put onto the resources page. And you can do that on the website, True Tales from Old Houses.
Excellent. Excellent. Now, is that live when this episode comes out or close to it? Like maybe it won't be live.
It's live
when you hear this episode, but oh, it's live.
Yeah.
That's great. Good for you. Gosh, you're just getting things done. I feel inadequate. All right. Well, one of the things that we did at the end of the season was we talked about the survey that we had, and we got some good responses to the survey, which I actually didn't share with you yet. I'm so sorry, Devin. Something that everybody seems to really want that we can't really address right now is that more episodes. Almost every single time people will say, I wish there were more episodes. You know, schedule's fine or the seasons are fine, but I wish there were more episodes.
It's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. It is. I mean,
we're at this point, where's this volunteer?
Yeah. But the thing about the work is that I really enjoy the work.
Sure.
But I think probably almost more importantly, to some degree, we're kind of on the cusp of needing someone, a person, another third person who's taking care of a lot of the stuff behind the scenes for us. And that is not really going to happen anytime soon. So unfortunately, no. I think we're kind of stuck right now. I do have some ideas for maybe some mini episodes or other things. Devin and I will still, we'll have a meeting and we'll try to see if there's something. But as far as doubling up the amount of episodes we can do, I don't think we can do that right now.
No, it's just a little more load than we can take on at the moment. But I think as we get through this and this season and we learn more about how this process works, because, you know, we're still both somewhat new to this.
Right.
You know, it's only, what, 2 years in, basically.
We keep learning. We keep getting better. But there's still ways that we can streamline the process and maybe add more episodes in the future.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah. Something new we have, which we're working on, which should be available in the next week or 2 weeks, is we've created a Facebook group for True Tales from Old Houses. It is currently... it's developing, but we're hoping that it'll be a resource for people to ask us more questions that we can answer on air, Q&A, maybe a community of sorts for you to communicate about your old houses and old house related topics. Maybe we'll be able to share some pictures that don't quite make it on the show notes or just some behind the scenes information. You'll find it under True Tales from Old Houses right on Facebook.
So we have an excellent lineup for season 4. We have Q&A project discussions coming up. We've already recorded some great guests we're super excited about.
I'm so excited. And so excited,
yes,
about,
yeah,
who we have.
Especially today's guest. It's going to be awesome.
Pins and needles. I'm on pins,
yes,
and
yes.
Speaking of Q&A, we do have a new one for you today, and this is fresh off the survey form press. Do you want to read the question, or do,
sure,
you want me to read the question?
Okay. Question is, how much hands-on work do you do?
How much hands-on work do we do? I do the majority of it in our house, for the most part. I do have a husband, Andy. He was in season 2 in the ghost story episode, and he and I both came into this house thinking that we would work together, but it turns out he did not really care that much for the work. Now, in all fairness, I know this sounds like I'm putting my husband down, and that is not true whatsoever. But I mean, the man is probably working 60 hours a week. So unless you love this work, you're not incredibly driven after a 60-hour work week to come home and start doing
very
more
true
work.
Very true.
Lots of people do it, and those are people that are passionate about that work. My husband is not passionate about this work, and I'm fine with that. It's worked out fine. So as a result, I'm doing most of it here. I talked about what a terrible plumber I am. Andy does some of the plumbing. I'm not an electrician. I always call an electrician. But as far as most of the other work, Andy's helped me wallpaper. He's taken wallpaper down. He's really good at that. But most of the projects, I guess, that you hear about and read about on my blog or on Instagram or that I talk about here on the podcast, those are done by me. How about you?
Pretty much the same. I had to admit, I haven't done as many projects in the house here as I did in our previous apartment. So sometimes it looks like I haven't done that much. Now that my health is back and I'm getting back, I'm looking forward to getting into projects. I tend to be the hands-on person on the details. I like to get the details because I'm very particular about like how the woodwork is done or that kind of thing. And I'm not afraid to get in and do the dirty work either. I've done it. But I'm also willing to hire people at times when I'm either it's beyond my skill set or just enough to my skill set. Maybe like I don't think I could do a good enough job. Like I could do it, but I don't think I'd be happy with it. Or there are times, which I think we're going to be doing with our master bath, we're going to hire people to do a lot of the work because I want it done fast. Right. I don't want to spend 9 months doing this. I want it done in 3 months or less. And if I do it myself, it'll take forever.
Yeah. And I think it's only fair to, I don't know, to remind people. Like, I feel like we've had the same listeners since we started. But in case we're getting new listeners, you have recovered from cancer surgery. So there's a very legit reason why you are not doing so much hands-on work right now.
That's true.
Do you want to share any good news with us?
Sure. I had my 6-month follow-up appointment this last week, and the test came back as what's known as NED, N-E-D, or no evidence of disease. So for right now, I am truly cancer-free, and I'm really, really grateful for it.
Oh my gosh. I got goosebumps when you told me that. So yeah, I'm happy. I'm really happy for you. That was our first question of season 4. I think we addressed it thoroughly. What do you think?
I hope so. I think so.
Yeah. I can't really think of any more to say. My body tells me that I'm doing most of the work, that I'm tired, that I did it.
Yeah, my back does for sure. Today's guest is somebody who both Stacey and I are very excited about. We've been trying to finagle the schedules to have him on before now.
It's true.
You may know him under his website, Old Town Home, or you may follow his Instagram, @OldTownHome. He has been a wealth of information for the past 7+ years for me that I've been following him. He's taken DIY to a whole new level. He's covered everything from how to plaster a wall with real plaster, all the way to like leveling the feet on your clawfoot tub. So many tips on both the website and Instagram. He's just really been an inspiration for me. And he's also incredibly helpful and willing to help people when they have situations. He just loves old homes. Both he and his wife love old homes.
He blogged, I think he's been blogging since 2011. So yeah. in blogger years, that's like 75?
What? Yeah, at least.
Do we count those like dog years? I don't know. Anyway, tell everyone who our guest is.
Our guest is Alex Sant'Antonio from Old Town Home.
Hi, I'm Alex Sant'Antonio. My wife, Wendy, and I own 2 historic properties in the DC area, and we've been restoring them collectively since 2003 and 2014. It's a project that'll never end. We love what we do. And we love working with our hands and restoring these old properties. And we love helping other people when they have questions about how to restore theirs.
Excellent. Well, welcome. It's so good to have you here.
Yes, we're glad to have you.
Thank you. I really have been looking forward to this for quite some time. I'm a huge fan of the podcast. I've been, I think, really obsessed since the episode with the haunted tales that you did. Like in the first season, I think we were on a road trip somewhere listening to it. And then I've been a constant fan since then.
Well, thank awesome. You. Thank you. Are you talking about Debbie's Little Piece of History is Haunted? The one about the Underground Railroad?
Yes, exactly.
That was a really fun episode to record.
And I grew up outside of Cleveland in Ohio. I grew up about 15 minutes away from a little town called Oberlin. And a lot of my friends lived in Oberlin and they had a pretty rich history with the Underground Railroad there. And several of my friends had houses on the Underground Railroad. So it was nice to hear that kind of the history on that side on the podcast, growing up pretty close to it and being aware of it so much.
Devin and I make a list every year, every season, and we put some names on it that we really want them to be on the show. And you've been on our list for a while, and we finally got it together here to have you on the show. So I'm happy you're here.
Well, thank you very much. I know I've been around between blogging and everything. I started, I think, in 2011. And, you know, that a lot like any old house project, I wanted to start blogging a lot longer before that. So I had photos and everything going back from when we bought our house in 2003. And it was just a matter of getting to the point of actually starting a blog in 2011 and writing about everything after sharing countless things on Facebook and boring all of our friends who don't really care about old houses and getting comments back that says, you know, you should really start a blog. I felt it was encouraging them trying to encourage us. It was probably more just trying to get us out of their feed.
Oh yeah. That's exactly why I started this podcast. My husband said to me, you know, you really need to find some other people to talk to about all this old house stuff. I'm not going to do all the talking today, Devin. I'm sorry, but I do want to say one more thing is that this season 4, Devin and I were really interested in finding people who'd been doing this for quite some time. So you're one of a few guests in season 4 that we'll talk to who are in this for the long term. Sometimes people will buy their old house and immediately start blogging, you know, maybe for 6 months or a year. And there's a lot of value in that beginning and hearing about that beginning. But I think there's as much or more value in hearing from someone who's been doing this for a very long time.
And I feel like, you know, when you're renovating an old house, especially if you decide to do it yourself, it's a marathon, not a sprint. You know, I can't tell you how many times I talk to people about that who are considering old houses, that this is not something that you're going to be done with in a couple years and move on to the next thing, unless you're planning on hiring a lot of people, putting a whole lot of money into it, and not really enjoying the house for what it is. We actually had that skewed concept before we bought our house. In 2003, when we bought our house, we figured we had this plan that we were going to buy the house and have it renovated in 2 to 3 years. And then after 2 to 3 years, maybe sell it, move on to the next thing, maybe move back to Cleveland. Not having any idea that it would be 17 plus years at this point, and we're still not done with it. We still have plenty of projects that we want to work on.
It's a never-ending process. I mean, I talk about the 10-year plan, and we bought our house 3 years ago, and we're still on the 10-year plan. It'll be a perpetual 10-year plan.
Right. I've moved from the 10-year plan to saying I'm going to die with a paintbrush in my hand.
That can take the majority of your time, either painting or cleaning up the messes you make on a daily basis. Those are the two most time-consuming aspects of every renovation.
For sure. Actually, it's funny that you talked about your expectation. I'm going to let Devin cut in here because that was one of our questions we have on our list. But go ahead, Devin, you start. I've been talking.
Well, let's start out with your house in Alexandria, your row house. How did you, Mindy, find it? I mean, what's the story about finding that house and how you fell in love with it?
Well, we moved to DC, the DC area, right after we graduated from college in 2000. And we were fortunate enough to move into Alexandria, Virginia, which is right across the river from DC. We realized in our early 20s that every weekend, pretty much, we were going to Old Town Alexandria. And Old Town Alexandria is the historic district in Alexandria. It's one of the earliest National Register of Historic Location districts in the country. And it's just absolutely rich with houses that are 18th century, 19th century homes that are all row houses in a very kind of tightly packed urban area. But it's city light is what we always say. And we realized we were going there every single weekend, and we were spending all of our time walking around and looking at the houses. We also realized that we had this affinity for old things. Even going back further, we've been dating since we were 17. We were high school sweethearts. One of the first things that we did together, I think we went and we took the SAT. And then after the SAT, we came back to her parents' garage and we started refinishing an end table that we still have in our house now.
Wow.
So we knew that we liked working on things together. Old things really kind of piqued our interest. So after we got married and we decided to start looking for a house, we thought, you know what? We should probably look in Alexandria for the house. We would definitely want something old. So we looked in a lot of areas around DC. And actually, we bought the house. I think we looked at 18 different houses, 19, 20, something like that, different houses. We bought the very first house we went through. And that's how it always seems to work out. We had to see the other 18 or 19 to make sure we were making the right decision.
Right, right.
We took the plunge there because we figured this house is a very old house that we really wanted. It's a brick house. It's a row house. It was built in around 1885, 1886. It still had a lot of its original character. And there was just a huge amount of potential there. I actually had some background in working construction and also working in a window restoration shop from high school and college.
I like that.
Yeah, it was a good experience and a good It helped me understand the value in especially historic windows.
Sure.
Wavy glass was kind of drilled into me by my boss. I spent an entire summer stripping and removing glass from 800 wood windows that were removed from a big historic hotel in Cleveland called the Tudor Arms Hotel. That entire summer, he would come and talk to me every day and he would say, let me tell you just how important every piece of glass you're removing is. We can repair it and replace it if it breaks, but every single piece that breaks, that's 100 years of history that's gone.
Wow.
So that drilling that into me made me appreciate it. And then that made me appreciate it even more when it became my own house.
Of course.
Absolutely. What was your biggest reality check in your early years in Alexandria, the house?
Just how long everything takes and how every time you make two steps forward, you can expect to have at least one step or a half step back. You know, we understood that it was going to take effort. We understood that it was going to take money to do this. We really didn't have much in terms of a budget set aside to do the renovation. So we figured we would start small and we would do what we can as we can. And we would do it one room at a time. So I think the first day we were in the house, I think it was 15 minutes from our closing. And then we walked to our house and we started tearing apart our house. I think we were taking out shoe molding and I got the heat gun out and I was like, I'm going to strip all of the paint in this first room and it's going to be great. And then about 4 hours later, I think we had finished about 3 feet of baseboard and it was a giant mess. And it was like, wow, this is a lot harder than we thought it was going to be. I thought this paint was just going to jump off of these moldings here.
Right.
And then since then, everything has been about the same. You know, it's this idea that you have an expectation that something is going to take a day. It's actually going to take 4 days. If you think it's going to take a month, for me, I've realized lately, something that I think will take about 8 weeks, really 7 to 8 months is more reasonable.
Yeah. Don't you love it too, how we've kind of expanded our expectations? You know, when you say something will take out 8 weeks, that sounds very reasonable. You know, I could go for that.
Yeah.
You're like, eight weeks. I'm being very flexible here. It's going to take 8 weeks. And then suddenly, like,
and I lie to myself, so I believe it too.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, if we were a contractor, we'd be bankrupt, right?
Right. Exactly. I think I figured out how much I'm paying myself hourly from the time we bought our house until now. I think I came in at somewhere around 18 cents an hour, 19 cents an hour, something like that.
Old fashioned labor costs to match your old house.
Right. Exactly. I'm a bargain.
Yeah.
There you go. So do you have a project in the house that you're particularly proud of?
I have a couple. And they all have to do with different skills, I think. And it's the evolution of what we do. And this is something I touch on Instagram a fair amount. It's the idea that your process on doing something, especially something that you're doing multiple times, whether it's working on plaster, working on windows, maybe doing crown molding installation, something like that, your process evolves. And, you know, looking back on things, you can be proud of a project that really doesn't have that great of an outcome because it's what you knew at the time and it's right. What you did at the time, and you can have a lot of pride in that. So I think the projects looking back on it are the ones that everybody always says, oh, that allowed me to level up. You know, I really leveled up in this idea of getting better and getting more confidence. And I think those are the projects that I'm most proud of. The ones that we look back and we say, boy, finishing that really helped us to build our confidence so that we could take on something bigger for the next project. So I think going through the projects, you know, building the desk that I built, the built-in desk to mimic the antique cabinet in our small office area, that was big because that really let me believe that I can build furniture. You know, I went through the old-fashioned approach of you will not find a fastener if you look at that desk.
Wow.
The drawers are all dovetail. Everything is completely hidden, yet I built in all sorts of lights in it so that you can see the computer that you're dealing with and, you know, a bunch of different aspects like that. That let me feel like I can do something a lot bigger in the future in terms of furniture building. The next biggest one are probably the both bathrooms that we did. We're both very proud of that. And I'm going to say we hear a lot too, even though it's just me doing the interview right now, because Wendy and I have been a team on this, and our teamwork on this has helped build a stronger marriage, has helped us have a better outcome from all these projects, because the two of us working together, she's sort of the brains of all of the aesthetic and what it should look like. And we'll work through the idea with me on how we're going to build things out. And then the next step beyond that is she assists me in terms of the implementation and helps me work through problems that I'm running into. And she may not be every step of the way in terms of building or working on the projects, but she ends up really assisting the process along and helping me move forward, especially when I inevitably hit some major roadblock that just makes me shut down because I'm not really sure what my next step is. That would never happen more than on the bathroom project, because I kept getting to these points where I would finish something and then she would help me on because I hit a mental roadblock that I was just too concerned about taking that next step. And then when it comes time to finishing out these projects that we're really proud of, she steps in and she is the kind of design aesthetic implementation in terms of the curtains, the color choices, the soft touches that actually make a space feel wonderful and inviting.
Right. That's great. Hopefully you can maybe give us some pictures that we could put on our show notes for this episode, because I'd love to show people
absolutely
what we're talking about. Now, I've seen the bathroom, and I assume it's the one you're talking about that was actually in Old House Journal. Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, it was the one they did a pretty nice spread on it. I really liked how it turned out.
Right. I'll try to link to that issue as well so people can see. Maybe it's online.
Sounds
or
good.
At least a little excerpt. Okay, Devin, new season, New commercial. Let's take just a minute to tell people the ways they can support True Tales from Old Houses.
You can support us by sharing us with your friends. You can share us on social media. You can leave us a rating and a review wherever you listen to your podcast. Those ratings and reviews really help us.
They do. It's true. The other way you can help us is by making a one-time or reoccurring donation to the show. We have a PayPal button directly on the show notes for this episode and over on truetalesfromoldhouses.com. But mainly what I want to say is just how grateful Devin and I are for all the donations we received last season. It gave me so much joy to send out those mugs, and I just want you to know that we spent your money for things like hosting fees and sound tech, and it really helped us out. Thank you so much for the donation so far.
Yes, thank you.
Without you, there would be no True Tales from Old Houses. Love to start talking about your Foursquare project, because how long did you have the Alexandria row house before you decided that you wanted another house? I mean, I guess you needed more projects, you needed something new. What was your—
Yeah, I think so. It was equal parts ambition and foolishness.
And you've been working on that for 6 years?
Yeah, just shy of 6 years. It'll be 6 years in October. I think we were about 11 years in on Alexandria. And this is actually an idea that Wendy had for a little while. She has had this dream of at some point living on the water. You know, we've seen a lot of our friends as they've gotten older. They've had children and they've sold their house and moved into a bigger house. And we have four-legged children. And four-legged children don't need bigger houses. So we started to look at the option of potentially, instead of, because we don't need more space in our small row house in Alexandria. It's 15 feet wide. It's perfect for us. It's exactly what we need. So when we started looking at our options here, we said, well, rather than trying to move up to a bigger house or something like that in Alexandria, why don't we try to maybe fulfill our dream of trying to get something on the water and something more remote so that we can get out of DC and have some time to relax on the weekends. And also, I mean, this is part of the issue. Relaxation for me is working on things.
Sure.
So I wanted somewhere that we could go and work on a house. So we set up a search, and the search was pretty much anything that was older than 1920 on 1 acre or more that was waterfront within about 2 hours of DC. And where we ended up is down kind of southern Maryland area. So it's south of DC. And we've been here for 6 years. And again, tackling it one room at a time, one project at a time.
So tell us about that time when the pipes froze.
Oh, wow. That was wonderful.
I'll never forget this, ever.
It was one of the most difficult experiences we've ever had in terms of owning an old house, because we felt completely crippled when it happened.
Sure.
You know, it was like just this idea of, we've now had this disaster. Now what? I can't do anything. Everything is frozen. Everything's a mess. And because it's a second house, it was this idea of, okay, it's out of commission now.
Right.
You know, we've got to deal with this.
So let me go back just a little bit, just to give listeners an idea of what we're talking about in case they aren't as up on this, what happened. But this is your Foursquare, your second house, and you were away from the house and the pipes burst.
Right. So I'll take it just a step back. We had a cold snap in DC, which is pretty out of character for DC, where it was sustained highs of about 5 degrees, I think, or 10 degrees, something like that. That's pretty uncommon for our area. So we were here and everything was fine the week before, over Valentine's weekend. And it was cold out, and there was a huge windstorm that came and actually pushed all of the water out of the water in front of our house and just made it absolutely beautiful. And everything was covered in ice. And it was just this odd scenario that you don't normally see in this area. But it was, I don't know, it was an omen for what was to come.
Foreshadowing. That was all foreshadowing.
Yeah, exactly. And so we went back to Alexandria, and we were in Alexandria, and it continued to be really cold that week. My wife Wendy is a realtor, and she had a client that was about a block away from our house in Alexandria. and it was under contract and about to close. And because of the owner of the house actually had already moved out of the area, so Wendy was sort of handling everything for him. And she went over the house one day, and one of the pipes had frozen and burst. And it was in the ceiling of one of the rooms, and she ended up having to get a plumber in, get it taken care of, and it was just a huge mess. And I remember her coming back that day and saying, you know what? This was just an absolute disaster. I'm glad we caught it early because it could have been so much worse. But, you know, I can't believe how easily that pipe froze. It had insulation all around it, but it's just that cold, and it froze and it burst in this person's kitchen. So we went through the week, and we ended up headed back down to our four square on that following Friday. And when we got here, it was probably around 10 o'clock at night, maybe 9 o'clock at night. We walked into the house, and the house had an oil-fired boiler. And it was a big old oil-fired boiler that was doing pretty well before, but it was loud. And it sounded like a jet when it was running. So we walked into the house, and I remember immediately, as soon as I walked in, I could see my breath. And she said, something's not right here.
Oh no!
And I said, yeah, it feels a lot colder than it should in here. I went right into the utility room and noticed that the boiler wasn't running, and it should have been running full time at that point. So I went and I looked, and I said, the boiler's not running. And I checked the circuit breaker, and it was like, no, the breaker's on. It's okay. You know, I don't know what's happening. Hit the reset, nothing happened. And then I took a step back and I realized that the pipes above the boiler, I found one icicle hanging out of it. And I thought, oh no, we got a frozen pipe here. This is a huge problem. And then I traced it up a little bit further, and there was another split with another icicle. And then I looked up another maybe foot, and one of the elbows had pushed off of the connection, and I could see the solder. Oh. And then we started looking around the whole house, and every room up the pipes had burst, and there were literally icicles hanging out of the radiators in every single room. And some of them, and I'd never seen this before, because of the way that it burst and it was so cold, were these pigtail icicles. Because the radiator line would burst, and it would spray. And as it sprayed, it would freeze. And it sprayed and it froze in these weird kind of pigtails. And it was the oddest thing to walk around the house and see that your entire house's plumbing, both heating and plumbing, was completely destroyed. Even the bottoms of toilets had broken because it had frozen in the tank and in the traps of the toilets and pushed everything out. So it was just this discovery where it just kept getting worse and worse every single room we went into. And then it was this moment of like, oh, okay, how do we fix this? Where do we start?
Right.
You know, it's not something like we can patch this hole and then move on. There's no heating in this house. There's no plumbing in this house. So we got, and here's a silver lining moment for you. We got incredibly, incredibly fortunate. We were able to use a hairdryer to thaw the ball valve that was the main shutoff to the house and shut off the water to the house because it was so cold. We hadn't gone through a freeze-thaw cycle over several days. So the whole house had frozen. So we could thaw that ball valve, shut it off, and then go home back to Alexandria for the night and then come back first thing in the morning after about 3 hours of sleep and start collecting space heaters from friends, taking space heaters from home, and trying to thaw the house out as much as possible. And we had about a day where we thawed the house out and slowly drained every line from the house, giving, you know, where we were yelling to each other from one room to the other, saying, oh, we've got a leak in here. One of the ice dams gave way, and now, you know, bring towels. And the fact that we were able to do this in a controlled manner meant that all of our 112-year-old floors now were saved. Wow. We didn't have to tear out walls or anything like that. We just got to the point where we could replace the heating system and replace all the plumbing and do it right and do it in a way that will work better in the long run.
Wow, that is a silver lining. Ugh, I can't even imagine. Ugh.
We spent the next 8 months installing geothermal system and getting rid of the oil-fired boiler and getting rid of the oil tank that was buried and getting ourselves a much better eco-friendly solution and running plumbing that wasn't run on the outside of baseboards because plumbing was added to the house as an afterthought. Sure. After it was built. So now we have plumbing that is completely concealed. We have forced air and we have air conditioning now where we didn't have central air conditioning.
Right.
And it's so much less expensive to actually operate it month to month.
Right. And you have remote monitoring now as well, I believe, right?
Yep. Remote monitoring, remote leak sensors, cameras, security, temperature monitoring. We, you know, kind of keep our tabs on the whole house.
Right. That's great. So we've talked about both of your houses, and I guess since you've been doing this for so long, I was very curious about your method of project planning. Clearly, you said you do one room at a time. I think Devin and I both wonder, are you detailed planners, or do you just have a general idea and you figure it out as you go?
We figure it out as we go for the most part, I would say. We are planners, but at the same time, we are also able to kind of constantly assess and figure out what's more important. Here, a good example is we finished the downstairs hallway in our four square, and we could have easily moved on to doing the kitchen. We could have also moved on to doing our master bedroom, but because of where its proximity was to the upstairs hallway and the fact that it carries straight into it and the rooms are related, we figured we should go ahead and move forward on the upstairs hallway. We hadn't planned on doing that when we started the downstairs hallway. It wasn't until we finished up the downstairs till we realized, you know what, we should just go ahead and do this. And this is that 8-week project
right. That
I'm finishing this week, 10 months later.
But it's gorgeous.
And if you ask Wendy too, we talked about this and she said, how long do you reasonably think this is going to take? And I kind of went through my head and I broke it all down. And I said, well, it's going to take us 2 weekends to strip all the texture off the wall. And then, you know, 3 weekends to replaster everything. And then we've got to, you know, go through it that way. And I came up with a legitimate 8 weeks.
Right.
10 months later, the end result is, you know, we play things by ear and kind of go based on how the current project is going. And we make changes based on critical items that come up. We had no anticipation that we were going to replace the entire HVAC system, but a whole house that's frozen really kind of forces your hand on that to do it when it's time to do it.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, it does.
How do you budget for your projects? And we don't have to talk specific numbers, but like something like an HVAC, well, I guess you got an insurance settlement, but you know, what kind of advice could you give someone as far as budgeting goes, someone who's trying to work on a cash basis for these projects?
Budgeting is interesting because we've never formally had a set budget for a given project. It's been more, sometimes we'll do a materials budget where, you know, I keep going back and forth on this with a lot of people when I talk to them. It's the idea of good, cheap, or fast. You get to choose two. And usually in old houses, you really only get to choose one.
Right.
So budget has always been one of those things that we've not let it really define exactly what we were going to do for a room. Instead, we just take a lot longer. So our bathroom is a pretty good example. Start to finish, it was 7 years that we were working on that bathroom.
Yes.
We did a whole lot of other projects in the process, but 7 years when we were doing that, there were things that we did during the early parts of that bathroom. We actually lost our dog to cancer, or our dog Oliver to cancer.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. And it's actually, we now have two wonderful dogs. But ultimately, when we were doing that, we ended up having to shift because we were doing cancer treatment for Oliver. And that took a significant amount of our extra budget that we would have spent on our bathroom. And as a result, we just made our project take a lot longer so that we could spread the cost out over a longer period of time. And I know a lot of people really probably wouldn't feel very great about having a project that takes years like that. But when we did it, we kind of paused on some of the bigger things, worked on smaller projects so that we could feel like we're accomplishing things and then revisit the bigger things.
And that is a strategy. I think it's hard to talk about budget sometimes because everybody has different income levels. They have different priorities. Sometimes people have large families or small families or no children. But it's nice to hear the strategy, I think. And so you address that really well because you're living a different life than someone like me or someone like Devin.
Right, exactly. And I think, too, we end up doing things so slowly and collecting things over time, whether we're talking about furniture or actually working on the projects, that when you spread it out that much, like I said, it feels a lot less than it actually is, regardless of how much it is. Whenever we do end up ultimately hiring somebody, even if it's a reasonable cost for the work that's being done, because it's all happening in 4 days, and we're paying for the whole thing in 4 days, it feels a whole lot different.
Right.
It certainly does. Yes. So you've been doing this so long that you may feel like starting over in some areas of the row house. Is there a project that you wish you could do again and that you have more experience, or perhaps your decor choices would have been different over time?
Well, I think decor evolution is a natural process.
True.
And that's something that Wendy really puts a lot of time and effort into in terms of updating things periodically so that it's not a situation where it's completely dated. We've started to do that just recently where we repainted, and I say recently, 2 years ago probably, repainted our dining room.
8 weeks ago, right?
Yeah, exactly. 8 weeks. We repainted our dining room that used to be the real bold red color, and we made it far more neutral. It was feeling very dark. You know, it was one of those things where that red was popular back when we painted it. You know, a lot of people had red dining rooms or red rooms at that time, especially in row houses.
Guilty. I had a red room.
Yeah, exactly. And then at a certain point, we realized that it was making the room feel smaller, more closed in because of it. So Wendy wanted to refresh it and go a little bit more neutral. So we took a weekend, and this is a case where we actually took a weekend and we painted a whole room, and then it was done, and our work was done, and we moved back to whatever we were doing before, which was wonderfully fulfilling. But in terms of projects and redoing projects, because I kind of consider that a light refresh, that's a decor choice or something along those lines. It's interesting you ask this, because we're going to be launching into this in the next couple months, because the very first projects that we did when we bought the house in 2003, and actually the first room was our living room, that room has plaster damage that we didn't know how to address before and had been addressed by the prior owner. It was only a matter of time till it fell apart. So we need to correct that. We needed to restore the window in that room. We need to, while we're doing that, fix a bunch of failures in the caulk that we used on the crown molding. So over the next few months, we're going to be essentially going back to the roots of what we did right when we moved into the house, fixing the plaster in that room, restoring the window, fixing the plaster on the ceiling and the walls, not just the walls like we had done before. And the Harlequin diamond pattern in the hallway that's immediately adjacent to it, we're probably going to be skimming over that because I used the wrong approach and no fiberglass mesh in the plaster restoration with that. So the cracks that we covered before are coming back through again. So I'm going to fix that once and for all. And then we'll probably end up doing wallpaper in that room, covering over the Harlequin that we've been looking at for, you know, over a dozen years now.
Right. I know, I mean, just from talking to you today, I think I had a question about, do you genuinely enjoy DIY? And now I know that, yes, the answer is yes. So
yeah, absolutely.
I think I'd like to ask you, what is your very favorite DIY task? Like, what's the one project that you're always ready to do?
Oddly enough, so I talk a lot about plaster and plaster restoration.
Yes.
And it's one of those things, I enjoy it because of the end result. It looks wonderful. And using lime plaster now and having kind of the evolution of technique and getting it to the point where I can get the wall almost perfectly smooth and it can look as good, if not better, than it looked from the days that it was originally floated onto the wall. It's so fulfilling. But it's also one of those projects where in the middle of it, it becomes a slog, especially if it's a really big room and you just want it to be over. So as much as I enjoy plaster and the end result, and I really, really, really enjoy helping people with plaster because of all the experience that I have with it, I think woodworking is by far my favorite DIY project. You know, furniture building and working on creative implementations of molding, door casings, crown molding, the salvage beadboard wall that we just did in the basement, you know, those sorts of things really kind of give me a lot of fulfillment, because I feel like it's getting back to that tried and true approach to carpentry that kind of is nostalgic and I really enjoy.
So, of course, the flip side to that is, what is your least favorite DIY task?
I hate painting. I hate it so much. And I've been doing nothing but painting over the last little while. And I'm really, this is kind of a weird brag, but it's like, oh yeah, I'm really good at painting. I've gotten really good at cutting in. I've gotten really consistent and able to do a good job and have it look really wonderful when it's done. And I hate every single minute of it. But the fact that it looks really good when it's done makes it so that I can keep doing it and justify it to myself rather than having somebody else come in and actually do
that's
the work.
Funny. One task that I just despise is caulking. And I worked I've done this several times now for Habitat for Humanity. And the joke is always like, if you tell them you're good at something, then that will become your job. So I'm really good at caulking, really hate it, every second of it. The gun, my hand kind of cramps up. I just, you know, dragging my finger through it. And so they said, you need to tell them what you're good at. And I thought, I'm not telling them that. Are you kidding me? I don't want to spend my 8-hour day caulking around windows. No way.
Yep, exactly. And I would say that this is sort of DIY related and what I'm good at and what I enjoy. I really, really, really like helping people that are trying to do all of this stuff. You know, it's something where I didn't have a whole lot of help coming into this and discovered the rich online community that existed in 2003 and has only continued to grow here. And helping people through sharing my experience and giving them some tips on how they might try to accomplish what they're trying to do is one of the most fulfilling aspects of this. And it's not anything that's moving our projects forward or anything directly, but it ultimately is, because I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing with Plaster, and I would still be doing the same thing I was doing years ago if not for learning about it, because I have a desire to help other people learn from the mistakes that I made before. And that's such a huge thing to me. It's just, you know, giving back to this wonderful old house community that we have that is on Instagram, is on the internet, is lots of different places, and, you know, pushing my comfort zone and learning new techniques so that I can hopefully help other people in that process.
Alex, thank you so much for being here today. Like I said, we've been wanting to have you on the show for a long time. I've enjoyed our time together. Thank you for just everything, for being encouraging. I'm very encouraged after listening to what you've said, because I think it's really easy to get discouraged when there's so much work ahead of you with a big old house project like this one.
Well, thank you very much for having me on the show. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you taking the time to talk with me about this. And like I said, you know, the old house community is a vibrant one, and I love interacting with everybody on Instagram, and I'm glad that I've had the opportunity to be on your show and that I've gotten to know you guys over the years.
Thanks, Alex. We're really, really glad to have you on the show.
All right, so we're going to have to say goodbye, but I'm going to link your Instagram account and your blog on the show notes so everyone can find you, and we will see you later.
Thank you.
Bye for now. Thank you for tuning in to our first episode of season 4 of True Tales from Old Houses. You'll find everything you need to know about this episode, including links and transcripts, over on the True Tales from Old Houses website.
Season 4. Until next time.
Bye for now.